storms of life are raging. Above the thorns I'll find a rose. For he sends the storms and showers that make the little flowers grow. Above the dark clouds there's the sunshine. With his assurance my heart knows. Tomorrow's journey's ended. On the mountaintop I'll stand with the rose of Sharon's beauty and the lily hand in hand. Though the storms of life are raging, storms and showers that make the little flowers grow. Above the dark clouds there's the sunshine. With his assurance my heart knows. For every valley there's a lily, and every garden there's a rose. Above the dark clouds there's the sunshine. Assurance my heart knows. For every valley there's a lily, for every garden there's a rose.
If we would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Job, chapter 23, please, tonight. Job in chapter number 23. And I think we told you we weren't having you stand again. We will have you stand one more time, if you would, please. Trying to keep you awake, keep you stretching, keep you working out. You didn't realize you were going to do that in church tonight. But if you would stand to your feet, if you're able, in Job 23, as we read the Word of God, we'll begin reading in verse number 8. Job chapter 23, and begin reading in verse number 8. Job 23, verse 8, the Bible says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your blessing and help on this service tonight. Would you please capture our hearts and our attentions? Holy Spirit, please speak to us and help us where we need it tonight. Speak to every listener. Use my voice and help me, Lord, to say what I should, not what I shouldn't. Just move in a great way. Thank you for our church, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I mentioned this morning for a bit and just wanted to just quickly recap a bit and in regards to the events happening this week. Many of our church family is working in different ministries and is not in here for the morning service. And this past week, it was our 24th anniversary remembrance of the 9/11 attack and a time where we kind of prepare as a country. Although it's been over a couple of decades, almost 25 years now, next year, that we remember the attacks on our country, terrorist attacks. What a sad time. If you were older than 25 to 30 years old or so, you remember where you were and how that happened and what a sad time in our country. And the slogan is never forget. And we should remember those that have sacrificed for our country, lives that were innocently taken for our country. And next year we'll be remembering that even more as it comes to those bigger anniversary times. But then also this past week, as the on the eve of that attack was another attack on our country, and although not exactly, you know, we weren't close to him or all the same beliefs in every single way, but a Christian man, Charlie Kirk, was killed, gone down at a campus for speaking his beliefs and trying to reach the next generation. What a sad place it is for our country. I challenge the church this morning that for a few things that we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our country. And sometimes we wait till attacks happen or bad things happen to get serious about our faith and about our walk with the Lord. We need to pray for our country. And we need to be real. We need to be real in our faith. I think sometimes we wait for events to happen, and then we get serious about our faith and serious about our God, and people flood into church, and that's good. But sometimes our spirituality can be emotionally driven or event-driven, but it should be a real relationship with the Lord. This event, as we mentioned this morning, again, if you were here, I apologize for repeating, but it really hit close to home as a preacher of the gospel. It hit home as a father, as a husband, as a man, as a conservative in our country. That's an attack on what I believe as well. And so we need to pray for their family, pray for our country. I believe in many ways that it got a hold of a lot of people's attention this week. And for some that were kind of on the fence or kind of not sure, that are getting more on fire for God and committing their lives to the Lord more. And that's great. For others on the other side, very sad. For those that are cheering and celebrating the death of someone, what a sad place for our country to be celebrating somebody's death. What a despicable place to be. And that's all around us. I mentioned this morning, from 2010 to 2019, the average age of mass shootings, and this one wasn't a mass shooting, but it was 29 years old. In the last 5 years, it's gone down to 22 years old. We're not reaching the next generation like we should. They're being taught a different message, and it seems that as a Christian, as an American, that our beliefs are against them and somehow hateful. I'm not hateful of any person. And we should love God and love people, although they don't believe or agree the same as we do. We should love God, love people, be what's right. And we need to be praying for our country during these times that I believe really form our nation and decide what direction our country is going to go. And so with those thoughts in mind, again, something that was deeply on my heart this week, and it was so much in the news, and it seemed like everyone was reading, watching, talking about it. And we need to make sure that we have a biblical view of events that happen in the world and make sure that we keep our faith in God. It's not time to hide. It's not time to get discouraged. It's not time to lose our faith. It's time even more for Christians to stand up and spread the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how are we going to make a change in our country? Right here in the Word of God, right? God's Word changes lives. One soul at a time getting saved, that's what changes lives. Praying, that makes a difference. And as Christians, we must make a difference where we are. Not trying to plug for it, but we have a friend day coming this next week, and people were here this morning, and number of people that talked about the events, and they were here this morning that God just got a hold of their hearts this week, and they thought, I've got to be in church. A great opportunity for you to be a witness where you are. You think, I don't want to, you know, affront anyone's beliefs. Be a witness where you are. Be a testimony, a good testimony for the Lord. And spread the light where you go this week. And I encourage you with this thought as we begin the message tonight. Getting back to the message now in Job chapter 23, I'm sure you know this story of Job and his life. It's not just a story, it's not a fairy tale, but in Job chapter 1, that there was a man that was perfect, an upright man that feared God and eschewed evil. Doesn't mean he was perfect without sin, but he was complete. He was a righteous, a holy man. He loved God, loved his family, did right. God had blessed him in a great and a mighty way. But then it came a time where Satan presented himself before the Lord and said, if you give me Job's life and you let me to take something from his life, he will curse you and he will turn against you. And God said, you can take anything from him, but don't touch his body. Don't touch his life. And as he went through this, turn if you would actually back to Job chapter 1 as we look here this evening. Job was a righteous man, an upright man. He feared God. He loved God. In verse number 2, there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, had 10 children. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. God had blessed Job so much. Don't always relate riches with God's blessing. Sometimes think, well, if I'm doing right, God's going to give me a bunch of money and a bunch of stuff. No, it doesn't work that way. But God had blessed him in a great and a mighty way. And he had prospered so much that God blessed him. But it came a day where the servants came to him one by one. And they came to him and they said, a servant came and he said that he had seen that. Let's look down here actually in verse number, I apologize, I didn't write it down. In verse number 13, there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding beside them. The Sabians fell upon them and took them away, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. One by one, Job got a report that his possessions, his wealth, of his animals had been killed or been taken away. And then the last report, the last servant that escaped alone to tell him that his children had been killed as well. I can only imagine and fathom the discouragement, the disappointment, the misery that Job was in, and how much it just must have hurt him one by one hearing the news of what he had lost had been taken away. And then as you see in verse number 20, Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Think about the trial of Job. You hear of the trial of Job, and the book of James talks about, you've heard of the patience of Job. And as Job went through this trial, they believe that the trial lasted anywhere from a week to a year. And it's hard to say exactly how long that this trial lasted. The Bible doesn't give a firm timeline on that. But the trial that he faced was a difficult trial, to say the least. Everyone in this room, I can guarantee you, has been through your share of trials. Been through your difficulty. Been through your hurts. We could go around the room and share difficulty of family and relationships and maybe job situations or losing a loved one or health. And it seems like sometimes the difficulty and the trials can seem to keep coming. I want to preach you a message tonight and give you a simple thought tonight. What trials reveal. What trials reveal in our lives. In school, you take a test, and the test is not as much there to teach you, but to reveal what you've already learned or what you haven't learned. You go to take the test, and it's placed before you, and you're going to get graded on how well you do on that test. I'm sorry to discourage all of our students that are maybe taking a test this week that didn't want to think about school for another 12 hours at least. But you get to that test, and sometimes you think, I've got this test. I think I can do it. And you go to take the test, and you think, I didn't do so well on the test, Mom and Dad. I didn't do so well, teacher. And they go, okay, we need to work on it, and maybe you get to redo the test because you did so wonderfully on it. You get to do it all over again. And sometimes you go to that test and you think, praise the Lord, I did well on the test. Trials come into our lives and it reveals our faith. It reveals our trust in God. It reveals who God is in our lives. No one looks forward to trials. No one asks for difficulty. No one thinks today would be a good day to have a trial. You know, you ever get that phone call in the middle of the night and you go to pick up that phone? If you're smart, you silence your phone. By the way, don't call me in the middle of the night unless it's an emergency. I keep my phone on in case it is an emergency. So if it's not, save it till the morning. That would be wonderful. On another note, you get that call in the middle of the night and someone says, oh, I was just calling to tell you. You're like, you're calling me now? Because what do you expect at a phone call at 3 in the morning? Not the best news, right? Sometimes that's what happens, though, when you get the news. You face the trials. You've been through the difficulty. You've had your trials that you face in life, but what have those trials revealed in your life? Number one, trials reveal if God is real to you. Trials that come into your life, they reveal if God is real to you. Is God real in your life? You see in the book of Job that God didn't reveal to Job what was happening or why it was happening. He got the end of the story in chapter number 40, and he talks to him just about that restoring him back, but he didn't tell him why the trial came. You may never get an answer on why the trial comes, why God allowed that in your life, but trials will reveal if God is real to you. Maybe some of you today, you're still deciding if God is real to you. Sometimes we come to church and we're kind of putting God to test and saying, God, if you're real to me, you'll do this. And sometimes in our life, we treat God like Santa Claus. And we think if I get what I want, then God is real. And if I don't get what I want, then God must not be real. See, God is more than just like the tooth fairy and Santa Claus, where if you put something out and write a letter and you say it and God's just going to give it back to you. But God allows trials in our life. That's the difficult part, I think, that sometimes people have. Why would God let this happen in my life? Why would God take my loved one? Why would God take my health? Why would God allow me to lose a job? Why would God allow this situation in my life? You have to decide going through a trial if God is real to you or not. And the trial will reveal to you and even to others if God is real in your life. If God is real to you, you understand that God is in control. Have you realized that in your life, that God is in control? In the chaos of life, God is in control. You also realize this, that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And you may think, well, this would not be the plan I chose for my life. But here's the thing, you're not God and neither am I. And God has a plan. His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God has a plan for your life that I don't know the end of the story. And neither do you. I don't know how it all turns out. And Job didn't know until the end of the story. But Job had decided in his life, before he had anything restored to him, before anything had changed with his wife and his children, his possessions, he decided in Job chapter number 1, he said this, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What a great testimony to have in a trial, that you would say, no matter what God gives me, no matter what God takes away from me, blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Be careful what you say in a trial. Be careful what you do in the midst of a trial. What a dangerous time to throw away your faith and your belief in God and walk away from God. God's the only one that's going to help you get through that trial. We have to decide when you get into a trial if God is real for you. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they faced the trial. They were captives taken to Babylon. Their family were killed, their homeland destroyed, and they had to decide if their faith was real. And there was an image made, and the time that the music was played, everyone was to bow down and worship this false image. And they knew that thou shalt have no other gods before me. God alone will you serve. And they said, we're not going to bow down and worship this image. So the time the music came, everyone bowed except for these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These young men, they were told, if you don't bow, you're going to be thrown into that fiery furnace. You're going to be killed. You're going to be burned alive for your faith. They said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They said, even in the trial, no matter what the trial may face, no matter what the consequences may seem, our God will be with us through the trial. And God allowed them to go into that furnace, didn't he? God could have stopped them from even entering the furnace, but instead, he allowed them to go in to where their clothes were not burned. They didn't even smell like the fire. And in the midst of that fire, there was a fourth man as the image of the Son of God. See, you're not going through your trial alone. God is right there with you if you stay faithful to God in your trial. The only time God may not seem to be with you, God is with you wherever you go as a Christian. But many times we walk away from God during the trials. And God said, I can't bless you, I can't protect you, I can't help you unless if you are faithful and following. Question for you is this, do you have a real walk with God? You're going to be challenged sometimes during your trials. If God is real to you, how does your Bible time do? How is your prayer time when you go through the trial? How does it when you get the news? Is your prayer life real to you? Or does it all kind of become real when the trial comes and then it leaves when it goes away and we kind of get serious for God and then we walk away from God? Christian, is God real to you? Number two, trials reveal your faith in God. Trials are the greatest test of your faith in God. The trials that you face, it's a great test of your faith. I could go through stories, and so could you, of difficult news that we've faced in our lives. And there's times where it drops you to your knees, and you crying tears, and you can't sleep, and you, what do I do, God? But you turn and you keep your faith in God, even in the midst of the trials. Even in the midst of the storms, don't lose faith in God. Saying you believe in God is one thing. Staying faithful to God in your trial shows your faith in God. See, if you believe that God is real when the trials come, you'll keep your faith in God even in the midst of the trials, even in the difficulty. You say, but God, when are you going to turn it around? That's not for us to ask. That's for God's plan. You have faith that God can work all things together for what? For good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Trials reveal your faith in God. The disciples were in the ship and the storm was tossing and Jesus was in the bottom of the ship and they went down to Him and they said, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? You've got Jesus in the ship with you. Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, is in the boat with you. You're not going to perish with Jesus with you. And He would rebuke them and said, O ye of little faith. How many times you say, God, where are you in the trial? And God says, just have faith, I'm with you. You say, but I don't know how it ends, and I don't know how this all works out. That's not for us to figure out. But your trials reveal your faith in God. Sometimes our faith can get shaken, but don't lose your faith in God. Sometimes it might seem kind of hazy, and I don't see how this is working together for good. Just keep your faith in God. Keep your faith in God. Keep your faith in God's Word. When you go through a trial, the worst thing to do is to walk away from the Word of God and start going your own path and start doing it your way. And you start walking away from God. And when you go through the trial, stay faithful to the Word of God. Stay faithful to prayer. Stay faithful in your time with God. Too many times we think, but God, I can't see what You're doing. Too many times we think, but God, what is Your purpose in the trial? That's not for me to figure out. My purpose is to have faith in God, that He knows what's going on, that He knoweth the way that I take. Too many times we say, but I want to know the way that I take. And I want to know how it all works together for good. That's for God to figure out. That's not for me to figure out. But He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Trials reveal, number three, where you need to grow. Trials reveal where you need to grow. The verse here in Job chapter number 23 says, but when He hath tried me, I shall, future tense, in the future come forth as gold. See, God allows us to go through that refining process, the trial period, the difficulties where we go through struggles, and maybe we go without, and maybe we go through pains in our lives. But God, as Job said, he trusted that God, he said, when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I shall. In the future, I know that God will work all things together for good. Understand this, that for Job, he was right with God, but Job had areas to grow in his faith. I believe that God allowed Job to go through this because God knew that Job would pass this test. But also, number two, I believe that Job was going through the trial because God was going to try his faith and God was going to grow his faith in him. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow in our faith, Christian. Sometimes growing hurts. Sometimes growing is difficult. Sometimes we have to go without. Sometimes we go through struggles, but we grow in those areas. If you exercise and you work out, you realize that you have to have some pain to grow. For young people, as they're younger and they get older, sometimes they go through physical growing pains. But as a Christian, we go through some growing pains as well, where we grow closer to the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says, but beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. The beginning of those verses says, but add. When's the last time you added something in your Christian life? When's the last time you grew in your faith? You grew in your sacrifice. You grew in your surrender to God. Many times the greatest times that you grow is in the trials, isn't it? I love the victories. I love the mountaintops. I love the praise the Lord for the God's goodness. And you grow in those times of victory, I believe. But I believe the greatest times of growth are in the trials. The greatest times of growth is when you say, God, I have no one else. I have nothing else. I have nowhere else to turn but to you. You're growing your faith right there. Trials reveal where you need to grow. Growing your faith, growing in your relationship with the Lord. God becomes real to you when you go through trials, doesn't he? He comes real to you. When you call out to God and you say, God, I need you. Not a casual, God, I need you today. God, I need you. I can't get through it without you. God, I need you today. I can't make the decision without you. I don't have the strength to get through without you. God, I need you right now. Not someday, but right now. God becomes real to you and your relationship with God grows. There's times where you read your Bible and you get something out of it that's great, but there's other times you come to God and say, God, I need something today and right now to make it another moment. God, I need you. Would to God we came to God's word like that every time. Would to God that we came to God in prayer every time and say, God, I must get a hold of your throne today. God, I need your wisdom. I need your strength today. Trials reveal, number four, who you can help. Trials reveal who you can help. You think, but Job needed help. Yes, he did. I'll give you that. Job's wife turned on him. He lost his health in chapter number 2, and his wife turned on him and said, just curse God and die. Where was Job's wife for the next number of chapters? Where was she? The one that was supposed to stick close to him, to encourage him through better or worse. Where was she? Where was Job's friends? They sat with him for a bit and then they jumped on his case. And what did Job say? Miserable comforters are you all. Sometimes the best thing to do is not say anything when you don't know what you're talking about and to make it worse. You've been through the trial, haven't you? And someone said something that was the most insensitive, hurtful thing at the moment. They didn't mean it. You're like, just don't say anything. Or you want to try to, someone is talking next and you're like, if I could close your mouth really quick, I would do it. Because you think it's not helping. Trials reveal who you can help. You think, but who was there to help Job? God was. When his health had failed, when his children had passed, when he had lost his possessions, his friends had turned on him, his wife had turned on him, he still had God, even in the midst of that trial. But even in the trial, Job's faith helped others. You realize that? Job could have turned on God and walked away from God. We would have missed the end of the story. But in the end, Job's trial, he helped his wife. There's no sign, if you would turn back to Job chapter 42, there's no sign that Job's wife left him. There's no sign that Mrs. Job walked away from him forever. She did seem to, in her faith and in her words in the beginning of the book in chapter one. And in Job 42, we see, I believe, that Job's faith helped his wife. In Job 42 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "Then there came unto him all his brethren and his sisters and all that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that God had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and brought one an earring of gold." You never see where Job's wife came back to him. You also don't see in this book where Job's wife had walked away from him. She struggled. She struggled for a moment. I think sometimes we give her a pretty bad rap, and she had a bad moment of her testimony that you see in the Word of God. But Job's faith helped Mrs. Job. In the end, God would bless Job with 10 more children, with much more possessions. I believe, and you don't see anything different in Scripture, that was Job's wife that was there in the beginning of the book, that was there in the end. But because Job stayed faithful, he helped his wife through the trial. Job helped his wife, he helped his friends. In Job 42 and verse number 8, Job's friends had turned against him, and God said, "I'm not going to accept their prayer of forgiveness. That I want Job, you to pray. I want your friends, you ask Job to pray for you." And in verse number 8, it says, "Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. And for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken to me the things which is right, like my servant Job." So he said to the friends, the one that had jumped on Job's case and accused him, said, "I want you to take the sacrifices and bring them to Job." The one that you jumped on his case and accused him for being wicked and walking away from God and because of their folly. And so they ate a big, humble pie, bringing that back to Job, as you could imagine. A big humble pie, and said, "I am sorry." And they bring it back to, would you pray for us? He helped his friends to get right with God in the end as well. In all of this trial, Job could have walked away from God, but where would Mrs. Job have been if he had walked away from God? Where would the friends be at the end of the story if he'd walked away from God? What about the future children that God had blessed him with? In a moment we'll read. It's a reminder of this: your trial is not just about you. The trial is not just about me. The trial is a testimony for others around us as well. I don't know about you, but I've been challenged and encouraged to watch others go through the trial of their life and to see them faithful and following God and joyful and faithful in church and walking with God. That's a challenge to my faith. That's an encouragement to my faith. I think if they can make it, so can I. If they can stay faithful, I can stay faithful as well. It's an encouragement to my faith. Lastly is this: trials reveal how God can do the miraculous. Trials reveal how in the end, God can do the miraculous. In verse number 12, we'll look back at verse number 10. First of all, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." That's the God that you serve. Amen? That's the God that you serve today. Verse number 12, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job," what's the next word? "More than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 oxen of yoke and 1,000 she-asses, and he had 7 sons and 3 daughters." That God blessed the end of Job more than the beginning. That's the God that we serve. When you stay faithful to God and you say, "God, I don't know why you're having the trial come. I don't know what the purpose is, but I'll stay faithful to you, knowing that I will come forth as gold in your hands. You brought the trial for a reason." And in the end, you watch how God works all things together for good. But you got to stay faithful to the end. You quit in the middle. You don't get to Job chapter 42 if Job quit in the middle of the passage, do you? So what do you do when the difficult news comes? The trials come? What do you do when you're going through your darkest day? You stay faithful to God. What do you do when everyone else has walked away from the Lord? You stay faithful to God. What do you do when it seems that God has turned his back on you? You stay faithful to God. Don't quit during times of trials. Don't walk away from God during the times of the difficulty. God will grow your faith more in the trials, I believe, more than even in the victories. And your trials draw closer to God. Don't wait till the trials come, but when they come, draw even closer to God, because that's when God becomes even more real to you. Build your faith in God. Don't lose faith to God when it seems like society is crashing and difficulty seems to come. Don't lose faith in God, because God is just as real and he's just alive and he's just as powerful as he ever was and ever will be. Keep your faith in God. And then last is this, help someone else in need. There's someone around you that needs you to stay faithful to help them. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a neighbor. You stay faithful to God, you can help them. But how many people walk away from God when the difficult times come? And you lose your opportunity to see God's blessings, but you lose your opportunity to see how you can help someone in the end. Trials will come. Difficulty will come. What do you do when the trials come? Heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll have a word of prayer tonight as we begin the invitation time. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and speak to our hearts as we go through trials.